Welcome to New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I interview people who I really feel at the cutting edge of a new time, a new consciousness, a new awareness of our body, mind, and spirit coming to the planet. So tonight I have two very special guests. My first guest will be Dr. Hyla Kass, and my second guest in about a half hour will be Daryl Anker, the channel for Bashar. But first, I'm going to talk to Dr. Hyla Kass, who's a medical doctor, psychiatrist, and part of this Health Summit series, which is an online series that we'll be talking about, which is really about how to change your body, how to really maximize your own healing and health potential. So, Dr. Kass, you're with me?
I'm here.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for being a guest. What I liked about your resume was that you are really into anti-aging, rejuvenation, how to maintain more than just, most people are just trying to eat right, but they're not so much into the rejuvenating aspect. So can you talk a little bit about first, what stresses us, and how do we start to rejuvenate our body and brain?
Well, to begin with, we are subject to a great deal of stress. And there's a stress that we know about, like when we say, oh, I'm so stressed. You know, there's time issues, work issues, traffic issues, lines, whatever it is. We're all in overload. That's stress. Then there are other stresses, so the toxic stresses that we don't necessarily notice. The toxins in the environment, now particularly in New York, and I'm in Los Angeles, we have smog, you have certain pollutions in New York as well. So any urban setting is really filled with pollution and filled with toxins, and they are aging us.
So right, and then the subtle things also, like drinking out of plastic water bottles, you know, getting all those chemical residues.
Yeah, the phthalates and that. They finally banned baby bottles with bisphenol. So that was a big deal.
Well, so what do we do? I mean, there's not going to be like, you know, 15 million people moving out of the cities, though. I know, but what do we do to combat the stress while we're in the cities?
We need to, first of all, protect ourselves in a lot of different ways. I have people get air filters.
Mm-hmm.
So that the air inside, the indoor air, is going to be cleaner. Because, in fact, usually the indoor air is dirtier than the outdoor air because it's outgassing from carpets, formaldehyde, from press board, paints, all the stuff that we, all the modern conveniences that we have are just full of chemicals that we were never meant to metabolize. And every time your body's metabolizing these chemicals, it's using up our enzymes, using up our raw materials that would otherwise go to rejuvenating us. So it's very important that we eliminate the toxins from our lives, that we use natural products as much as possible, eat a natural pesticide-free diet as much as possible, don't eat processed foods, because every chemical that you're processing is taking away minutes from your life, maybe hours, you know?
So, right, because just tell me, when you eat something that's toxic, what does the body actually do to combat that toxic on a kind of physiological level? I'm just curious.
Well, we detox everything through the liver. And
right.
The liver requires, the main product that's used by the liver, that's manufactured in the liver, is glutathione. And it requires all the other antioxidants to make it and to renew it. So we require vitamin C, vitamin E, A, selenium, many antioxidants that will help to neutralize the toxins. But, you know, we eventually just get into overload. We have to start supporting the liver with, and this is where nutritional supplements come in. People can say, oh, well, as long as you eat a healthy diet, you're good. Well, that was good in the old days before there were chemicals, but now that there are chemicals around, we have to do more than that. So we have to support the liver. We have to eliminate the toxins as much as possible. And we have to take nutrients, nutritional supplements that will
help.
Well,
like which nutritional supplements? And you don't mean vitamin pills, do you?
I do.
I mean, you do?
Well,
because
be
some people say they're
food.
Unabsorbable. A lot of vitamins cannot be absorbed by the body.
Well, it depends on the brand.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, we have to be realistic here. Not everybody's going to be eating food-based super or superfoods, which are very good. But if you want to make sure that you're getting, say, 3 or 4 grams of vitamin C, you're going to have to eat a lot of the more natural-based products, the plant-based products, than if you just get the manufactured vitamin C. And it sounds that's soap, that's impure, that's
give
bad.
Give us a little... Well, tell us what the products are. I mean, we can go make a little commercial here. Tell us what we need.
Well, it's not a commercial. I'm just saying you can buy vitamin C from the store, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C from any good brand, and that's going to help rejuvenate you because it's going to help renew glutathione. It's going to help build your immune system. So basically, if you want to know what I recommend, I'll just really cut to the chase, and I talk about this in my book, my 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health book, my Natural Highs book, my Supplement Your Prescription book, on and on. I've written quite a few books. And the emphasis really is to eat as naturally as possible. Drink 8 glasses of clean water a day. Please, please, filtered water. Take essential fatty acids. We need fish oil, omega-3 fatty acids. It can come from fish, but be aware of the mercury level in fish.
So, like what fish has mercury so we're aware of which fish to avoid?
The larger fish have more mercury.
Like swordfish. And
swordfish, tuna fish, even salmon, even though the salmon is the smaller fish. Basically, you want to eat the smaller fish. The smaller, the better. Sardines are
like
the best.
Like what's a small
really
fish?
Small.
Like snapper, you mean?
Like,
or,
well, a snapper can have mercury in it, too. You want to also know your source. Somebody I know who has, I'll tell you one good company, Vital Choices, and you can check on my website, which is drcass.com. drcass.com, and I have a little note there for Vital Choices and a link, Vital Choice Fish, because they really fish in cold Alaskan water where they're very careful and measure the mercury level of the various catches that they have. The owner, in fact, went to a fish market in New York and was told that, oh, this is very low mercury fish, had it analyzed, and of course it wasn't a very high mercury fish, and on and on. So you really have to
what
know
about farm fish? Do you believe in that?
Bad.
Is that bad
stuff.
And
because,
like farm,
you know, if
salmon?
You think about it, these, you know, it's contaminated, pesticide runoff, they're fed junk. You know, they're not being fed the algae and the other foods that the fish will naturally eat out in the ocean or out in the wild. And they're confined with all their waste. You know, it's really kind of gross.
So you don't recommend any farmed fish products?
Unless it's guaranteed. You know, I did, at one of the food shows that I went to, I met a fish farmer who talked about keeping very clean ponds and how he kept them clean and his whole process. But anyone who goes to that expense, and it is a lot more expensive, would actually advertise that they're doing that. So you'd have to watch for that.
Go back to that list you were reciting with the fish oils.
Yeah. So fish oil, I'd say get the stuff that says on the bottle that it's pesticide and mercury-free, dioxin-free, because it's been analyzed. It's often distilled and reconstituted so that it doesn't have any of the toxins in it. So then take some extra antioxidants like vitamin C, I'd say like 2 grams a day. Some superfoods.
When you say vitamin C, 2 grams a day, do you just mean the vitamin, but the powder? What do you think of those little...
It could be any form. I'm not going to get real detailed and real fussy.
Okay.
I do carry some brands on my website.
Okay.
They're all... The ones I choose, I have chosen very carefully. They're what I give my patients. And with my patients, I actually measure levels all the time. I'm always measuring the vitamin levels, the toxic levels. I check mercury levels, pesticide levels. So I know how products work on my patients. And a lot of them of these products are just vitamins, minerals, amino acids, herbs, the manufactured, but originally they're derived from a natural base, a natural product. And also for my psychiatric patients, I don't use Prozac and Zoloft. I will use amino acids, herbs, vitamins, and minerals to restore the natural balance, to restore the natural chemistry, so that you're not actually imposing something external and potentially toxic.
And that you find is just as useful as these drugs that these people are
taking. Well, you know, the funny thing is they're better. They're actually more effective. They work faster. And it's not that, it's just a vitamin. It can't possibly work as well. I wrote my first book in 1997 called St. John's Wort, Nature's Blues Buster. And what was amazing was the research. And since then, there's been a lot more research that St. John's Wort compares very well to the antidepressants. And in fact, I would rather give someone St. John's Wort or 5-hydroxytryptophan or some of their SAMe than the drug, because these natural products work faster. They work more effectively. They work with the body's chemistry. And rather than side effects, they have side benefits.
You know, right. I don't want to get into too political a discussion, but is the reason these are not being prescribed and drugs are is because of the pharmaceutical industry?
You don't have to be too political to know that. Yeah,
but
of course.
It's a scandal. It's awful that people are being poisoned so the drug companies can make money.
Business.
America is
based on business, and that's just the way it is. They have no interest. You got to get this. The pharmaceutical industry has no interest in your health, and it's all dollars. Just like the oil companies do not care about your health.
But the AMA then is supporting the pharmaceutical, because the AMA isn't saying this to their doctors, are they?
How about that? Yeah,
so
they're all in bed together.
They are.
Of course. And all the research is supported. Now, there is some hope. The government has started to support some research products. There's an Office of Alternative Medicine that has some studies going. There are European studies on herbs, for example. Some of the herbal companies have come up with the bucks to do the research. Research is very expensive, and the pharmaceutical companies can afford a lot of research, which, of course, they fake the conclusions. And this is not, I'm not radical. You know, I'm pretty conservative. I'm an MD. I'm board certified in psychiatry. I'm an author. I was on staff at UCLA. You know, I'm kind of straight that way. But, you know, I just have to tell you the truth.
Right. No, I appreciate it. I totally appreciate it. So there's a level of getting rid of the stress, but then there's another level of supplements and transformation that actually reverses the aging.
Now, oh, right,
Totally.
I told you antioxidants, but also bioidentical hormones. And again, this might be for political reasons. Some people say, no, you should just use herbs, you know, or hormones are manufactured. But they're manufactured from natural products. And the truth is, I have a lot of my patients on bioidentical hormones, and they do wonderfully well. You know, men over 45, 50 starting to lose their virility, doesn't feel good. Give them some testosterone and some herbs that help to enhance testosterone, and
like
they have their libido back and their life back.
Tribulus. What is it?
One of them.
Tribulus. Fibulus is a Western herb.
Yeah.
Fibula. Okay. Tribulus. What else? Just curious.
I have a great product actually called Tango, that is. I don't even know if it's up on the website yet because it's new. We had an old version of it. We just got a new version of it that is quite amazing. We've already had people. This is an aphrodisiac is good when people reorder it. And so the Tango's really been very successful.
But what's that's so powerful? Yeah, what's in that?
It's a group of Chinese herbs, and this is interesting. I can't even pronounce them. That when the Chinese prepare herbal preparations, and I know there's all kinds of stories about, you know, Chinese herbs having pollutants in them, but these are done in a lab that has actually been checked by a Western scientist.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I make sure I have really clean stuff on my website. And they have this product. They cook it. When they prepare it and extract it, and then they cook the herbs. They extract them. The herbal essence, the extracts. They do this in combination. So it's not like you take a bit of this one, a bit of that, and a bit of the other, and put it in a capsule. You actually prepare them together, and that process itself makes it what it is.
Chinese herbs, so I know how they do it, and they add a little bit of licorice or something to bind those herbs together.
Right.
And
speaking of licorice, that we sure can use that to help our adrenal glands.
Oh, good. Good.
You mentioned another magic word there. Because I'm trying to get a lot in a very short time here.
No, I know, because we only have like a half hour. But so you recommend these really revitalizing, revitalizing herbs, because it's not just the sexual energy is a symptom of the whole body's energy, really.
Right.
You know?
And actually, when you're restoring sexual energy, that's really just a barometer of what's going on with the entire body.
Exactly, exactly. So for men and women, so the hormone replacement for women, what do you use as a natural herbs or bio?
Ms. Dong Quai, red clover, Vitex. I find with my women, I can use herbs up to a certain point, and something called stem phase that I particularly like for women who have had, say, they've had breast cancer and really should not be on hormones, although that's still controversial. You know, it may not be so, but to leave a margin of safety, I'd rather not have them on hormones. And so I use this product called FemPhase, F-E-M-M-E, FemPhase. Uh-huh. Again, it's on my website, and it's from China. And I've had women who were having terrible hot flashes, and they were post mastectomy from breast cancer, have stopped having hot flashes, getting their libido back, and feeling great on this FemPhase, because what it does is it actually boosts your natural hormones, so you're not causing any increased risk for a recurrence. And that's another thing. I'm sorry.
But no, I'm just curious why breast cancer has been such a like an epidemic in this country.
Yeah, that's really a reflection of chemicals.
These chemicals
were never meant to be metabolized by this body. That look how we evolved. We evolved in the jungle. You know, they didn't have huge smokestacks bellowing out mercury like they do from China. You know, the Chinese are really bad that way. They burn coal, and the mercury just goes into our atmosphere, goes into the ocean. We eat it through fish. Goes into our water table. I mean, we're really in trouble. We are.
But do you have a big picture of how we can live in a natural harmony with each other in a healthy way? I mean, besides the supplements, do you have an idea of how that can happen?
Well, we each have to, in order to live well with each other, we have to live well within ourselves. And people are troubled. You know, it's very interesting. The standard American diet makes people a little crazy and very subject to stress. I have people walk into my office every day, and they say they have mood swings, they have anger outbursts, and I say, what are you eating? How often are you eating? What's your diet like? And it turns out they're eating sugar and crap, because they eat sugar for the short-term quick fix to feel good, but then they plunge right afterwards, and they end up having these outbursts or depression or feeling crappy or being mean to their kids or their spouses. And I simply put them on a good natural diet, take away the sugar. By the way, the sugar and all the other bad stuff, the coffee, the alcohol, falls away when you're eating a good diet. You don't crave the bad stuff. So you put them on this good food, and they stop feeling depressed and anxious, stop blaming it. They stop blaming everyone for all their problems because they're feeling good. So
exactly.
That's the start.
Yeah.
You start by eating right.
Because I personally do not eat sugar, I don't eat bread, I don't eat baked goods, I don't drink alcohol, I don't drink coffee, and I feel good most of the time, you know?
Isn't that the truth? And I wrote a book, Natural Highs, that really deals with this very, very in detail about the neurotransmitters and how we make these, so the serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine in our brain, and GABA, that's the calming one. And if we don't have the good raw materials to make them, if we're not eating the right amount of protein and have the right vitamins and minerals, again, I'm talking about vitamins and minerals, we all need to take a vitamin pill every day. So if you don't have that, you're going to be in a bad mood. You're going to be depressed and anxious and cranky and, you know.
Well, what are good foods for the brain to build up those neurotransmitter, chemicals that we need?
You want to have a good balance of protein and a good, good clean protein. A chicken, fish, tofu,
What about red meat?
Red meat, if it's lean, but it's often polluted. You know, the cows are fed, they're corn-fed. So
is corn-fed worse than grass-fed?
Hormones. Yeah, grass-fed's better.
But grass-fed does not taste as good. I mean, I think beef, personally, is better than chicken. I think chicken is so mass-produced and so awful. I think cows are taken care of much better than chickens. And I find I can digest red meat much better than I can digest chicken. It's awful.
You probably get sort of more healthy meat. Like, you don't just buy any old stuff from the market.
Right, I do. I eat very good meat. And then the whole thing about tofu and all the awful stories that you're hearing now about
the soy stories?
Yeah, what do you say? The soy stories.
Yeah, if you have to buy organic soy, because if it's organic, it can't be GMO, genetically modified. And the genetically modified food is like Frankenstein food. And if we eat Frankenstein food, we're going to be Frankensteins. And that'll age you. So, good point.
But soy in general, soy, even if it's organic, I don't know, because it does affect things like prostate, you know? A lot of soy
Soy is a big issue. Nobody should eat a lot of soy, because soy is feminizing. Soy enhances female hormones. And you do not want your little boy to be drinking soy milk formula, because he's going to be feminized.
It's awful. I actually think milk is okay for you if it's really clean from the source and pretty natural.
If it's raw, if it's right from the cow,
yeah.
It has the enzymes that can digest it.
I mean, for me, a lot of the health food myths that, you know, I grew up with sort of in these 80s and 90s, I find aren't true anymore. I mean, I do drink some milk, and I find really grounded from like a good glass of clean milk from the market, from the farmer's market here. It is so energizing. I mean, I don't eat junk.
Is this raw milk that you're drinking?
Yeah, pretty raw.
I just wanted to distinguish this.
I know. Milk in the store is awful, and I get allergies from that, and I just thought I would try a little bit
of... You need to distinguish that.
Yeah, I know. You're right. And a little bit of the cream in the milk I find really nurturing. I need some of that oil, that heaviness in the cream that
uh-huh.
I find.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This whole thing, this whole non-fat business is insane. You know, non-fat this, non-fat that. I was at someone's house the other day, and she says, oh, this is non-fat half and half. I said, I'm not going to drink that. I said, you know, that has corn syrup and preservatives and every chemical under the sun, and she's looking at me like, what? He said,
people
oh, I have to do that
so
my husband has to be low cholesterol. The corn syrup is a carbohydrate. Corn syrup and high fructose corn syrup are what gives you a high cholesterol. It creates
metabolic. I think the whole cholesterol thing is just a myth anyway. It's such garbage.
Yeah, no, but the point is you do get a raised cholesterol, but it's not from fat. It's from excessive processed carbs.
Right.
Too much sugar the simple carbs, sugar, bread, white flour, you're going to have inflammation, and that's going to cause a high cholesterol from metabolic syndrome. And I know I'm saying a whole lot here, but in my book, 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health, I have this great chapter on metabolic syndrome. And you might think, well, what do I need to know about metabolic syndrome? But if you're concerned about getting diabetes, which is an epidemic, you got to read it. If you're eating the standard American diet,
is that diet-related? Totally diet-related?
Totally diet. I had a lady in today who was way overweight, and I said, you have metabolic syndrome. She said, how do you know? I said, I know. Let me see your labs, because she brought in her labs from another doctor. I said, look, you have high cholesterol, high triglycerides. I'll bet you have high blood pressure, too. She did. And obesity. And I said, we're going to fix you.
And so what did you recommend to her? What did you tell her?
No sugar, no bread diet, lots of fruits and vegetables, organic protein, meat.
Do you think fruit has too much sugar sometimes in it?
Well, you want to get your food. You know, you shop the periphery of the market. You don't buy anything that's processed.
Right, but even fruit
is already junk.
You know, I was drinking a lot of carrots. I felt carrot juice even had too much sugar in it.
Well, carrot, you want to eat carrots, not carrot juice.
Right.
If you're going to eat veggie juice, carrot juice, have it mixed with other veggies. And by the way, I wanted to just go back to brain balancing, because I think that's extremely important with the number of people that are depressed, anxious, and on Prozac, that it's really important to know what supplements you can take to help your brain. And we've mentioned the essential fatty acid, the omega-3 fatty acid, the fish oil capsules, or they're called omega-3 capsules. If you take 2 grams of those a day, take 5-hydroxytryptophan, particularly in the evening, to raise serotonin. If you take phenylalanine.
Wait, is that natural? The tryptophan is a natural pill? It's a vitamin?
Tryptophan is an amino acid. You know, get it from protein food, but they can also manufacture it. But it's the same molecule. Or you take 5-HTP, which is similar to tryptophan. It's derived from Griffonia, which is an African herb.
And that's something you can buy in the market, too.
Yeah. And I have this all described really well in my book, 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health, and also on my website. And I created a product that I love called Brain Recovery, which is 2 packets. You take a packet in the morning and a packet in the evening of probably 5 or 6 capsules in each packet, and you cover the whole gamut from you got your multi, the fish oil, your mood enhancement in the morning, your calming products, your amino acids in the evening, and you feel good, and lots of antioxidants and lots of liver support to take care of all the toxicity I've been talking about. But I just had to get that in because it's so hard for people to figure out, you know, they listen to a show and they say, well, now what am I going to do? Or they read a book and they say, well, I got some of this and I got some of this, but what do I do with this? And then they get crazy and so they say, this is too hard, and they drop the whole thing.
So
I decided to make it simple and streamlined.
Well, it's hard when you have been eating a certain way your whole life and then you think there's nothing to eat. But in actuality, I haven't eaten bread in probably 10 years. It's just there's so many other things. And when I first got offered, because I had wheat allergies, I didn't know what there was to eat. And then,
yeah, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And my mother would just give me allergy pills. Even the doctors, even the allergy doctors, never suggested I stop eating bread, you know? They just take an allergy pill. So
that's the way it is.
It's such ignorance that I hope people like you are turning around the awareness and telling us and showing us there are alternatives. I want to talk a little bit about this Health Summit series that you're a part of. That's an online series. Do you have anything to say about it?
Oh yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's a teleseminar, which means it's by phone. So we're phoning it in, and with several other experts. We each have our own week. I'm on October 28th, and you have a list there of the other names.
Right, John Gray, who everyone knows from Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. He's talking about hormones and some of the stuff you're talking about, adrenals, DHEA, and then Norman Shealy, who is very well known as a medical intuitive. He's going to be on that, and I don't know the other people.
And he's a very good researcher, very good physician.
J.J. Virgin, veteran.
Oh, she's brilliant.
Yeah, is she? Okay.
She's
and Robert,
fabulous.
Robert Bell, do you know him, Robert Scott Bell?
Yep, Robert Scott Bell, he's moderating.
What's
very
his...
Very smart. He's a homeopath, and he has a radio show as well that I've been on. He's terrific.
And Beth,
this is such a good lineup.
Oh, good. And Beth Greer?
Who else is there?
Beth Greer.
Okay, so this is a stellar lineup, and each week it's a different... person, and they can... what's the website again?
Well, I think it's Health Summit Series. I'm going to have it posted on my newrealities.com website, and people can just click on there to, to hear, like, what programs when, and they can just sign up then. I think it's Health Summit Series. If they just type this in to a search, they'll be able to find it, you know, Health
Summit
Series.
Right, and I'm going to have it listed on my website as well. Actually,
right.
I do have it listed on my website, which is drcass.com.
Oh, you do? Great. Just tell me, what after listening to these, 6 weeks of high lectures, what will they come away with knowing, do you feel?
A whole lot more than when they started. They're going to understand a whole lot more about how their body works, what they eat, how they think, exercise, all of these things, how that affects their health, the amount of or the rate of aging, and just their whole being. People really need this kind of information.
Will people have enough? But I'm just curious. Will they have enough tools, you feel, to start to take control over their own bodies after listening to these 6 weeks?
I certainly hope so. You know, what we do, what I do, what the other people do, is open doors. It's up to the person to walk through the door, to take advantage of all the information and to look further and to apply this to your life. And you don't have to do a lot. I find people just changing their diet, getting enough sleep, drinking enough clean, good water makes an enormous difference. And then you add in the supplements and some exercise, and boy, you really have a real advance. You're way, way ahead of the crowd.
Well, okay, the website is onespiritnetwork.com. People can go there, One Spirit Network, to get the Health Summit series. Well, I really appreciate the research and the dedication to people's health that you have and the integrity.
And thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, and I love what you're doing, the contribution that you're making. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, because I feel, you know, health, I mean, people talk about being spiritual, but you have to take care of your body. You have to love the body and nourish it.
Hey, we chose to embody. We've got to take care of it.
That's it. We need that. So thank you again, Dr. Hyla Kass. And your website, again, is?
It's drkass.com, drcass.com. Check out my brain recovery product, my books, and my events. And under the events, you'll find the Health Summit series.
Great. Thanks for being a guest. I really appreciate it.
A pleasure.
That.
Take care.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
My next guest, that was Dr. Hyla Kass, who's part of this Health Summit series. And I'm very excited about my next guest, because this is totally switching gears. This will be Daryl Anka, who is the channel for Bashar. Bashar is an interdimensional being. And they'll be in New York this Saturday, September 19th, for a whole day event that will really be mind-blowing, will really be an opening, I feel, to other levels of reality, which is one of the reasons I call the program New Realities. So we'll see if... Daryl, are you on the line? Well, let's see if we'll get him on the line. If you want to register for that Saturday coming up, you can go to basharcommunications.org, or you can look on newrealities.com. And it's second time. Oh, Daryl. Okay, are we back on the air? Guess we are. Hey, Daryl.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, thanks for being a guest. You okay there?
Thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Yeah, I was just saying how excited I am that you and Bashar, I guess he comes with you, are coming to New York.
Kind of stuck together, yeah.
Right, he never appears without you, right?
Well, actually, that's not true. He's actually come through a couple of other people over the years that I've been doing this, which is a little bit of an odd experience for me, but generally, we come as a package deal.
Have you seen other people channel Bashar?
I have seen a couple, and it's very freaky because especially one time he came through a woman in Japan, and of course it came out in Japanese, it was coming through a woman, but the personality was absolutely distinctly Bashar's.
That is so fascinating. Wow.
Yes.
So it was the whole same energy. You recognized it for sure. Huh?
Oh, absolutely. The personality is very distinct.
How long have you been with Bashar?
I've been channeling now for almost 26 years.
Wow, that's and you've gotten very well known throughout the world, I would say.
Well, there's been a lot of word of mouth. The CDs and all the information has traveled pretty far. There are now quite a few people that are familiar with Bashar.
Oh, yeah, I look at the YouTube. There's hundreds of thousands of people have seen Bashar on YouTube. But what I'm curious about, has your relationship with Bashar changed and evolved over these last 26 years?
It has, and I've certainly changed and evolved because of it. even though I don't really hear the information as it comes through me, because I'm sort of like in a daydream state, the energy and the basic concepts definitely do sink into my consciousness. And over the years, it has definitely made a difference in how I view the world and how I live my life at this point.
Do you find, I mean, you've been doing this like, you know, almost, maybe not every day, but for 26 years, do you find that this altered state that you go into as Daryl, has that mm-hmm. changed? Because
well, it's gotten smoother. It's gotten easier. I mean, you know, it's like anything. You do anything long enough, and it just becomes sort of second nature. In the beginning, it took a while for me to get into the proper state, and Bashar coming through was kind of halting, and it took a few years before it really started to smooth out, and now it comes through very, very easily, and it's always a very energizing experience, whereas in the beginning, it took some getting used to, and the energy used to tire me out, but not anymore, not for a long time.
But are you sort of in, you're not in a dream state, and you sort of hear something, but how could you describe the state of mind you're in when you're channeling?
Well, it is truly an altered state, and like I said, I guess the closest approximation I can make is being lost in a very energetic daydream where you get pictures and you get feelings, but you don't really hear the words. It's as if somebody walked in the room and you're daydreaming and they called your name and they have to call your name once, twice, three times before you even really hear it. The words are so far away, it's like they might as well be in another house or something. And,
so you're not aware? Go ahead.
Well, I know there's an experience going on, but I don't really know exactly what's being said to the people that are asking Bashar questions. I'm just having my own experience of it.
But I'm curious about physiological awareness. Are you aware that your mouth is moving, that your voice box is being used?
Very vaguely. It's very much in the background, and in the altered state, in the channeling state, time is extremely compressed for me. Every time I come out of the state, if I have to guess how much time has passed, what feels like to me usually is about only half or less than half of what the actual time has been. So it's not like I'm in that state for very long, even though I might be in it for an hour or two. It never feels that long to me.
It's so fascinating, this thing we call consciousness, because you're mm-hmm. an amazing demonstration of this mystery that...
Well, it's very flexible, and what I've learned is that channeling is actually the channeling state is a natural state. We all have it. We all probably do it from time to time. Really, it's just what happens when we start doing something we love to do, and we're not really overthinking about it or analyzing it. We just get lost in the doing of that thing, and we don't pay attention to the passage of time. That is the channeling state. So, you know, when an actor becomes the character, when a singer is lost in the song, you're in that channeling state. So there are several things you can do in that state. You can access more information in your own consciousness, and apparently, based on what I've experienced, you can actually even access other consciousnesses in other dimensions of reality, but it just depends on how you focus it or what you've been trained to do.
Right, so you access this personality or this, I mean, he's not, I would, from what I've seen, not just a personality, because lots of people have these sub-personalities. He doesn't appear
sure.
to be a personality as a part of you. He feels to be an exterior personality in a way. Would you say that?
Well, as he's described it, in a sense, it's both, because he does present himself as an extraterrestrial consciousness, a separate being, an autonomous being with his own reality, his own experiences in life, and what's happening here, according to Bashar, is a telepathic contact. So, in a sense, my brain waves change frequency and get somewhere closer to his realm, and his brain waves change frequency, get somewhere closer to mine. Somewhere in the middle, we lock and harmonize, and then what you get are his thoughts being translated into the words of the vocabulary I was raised to understand, which is English. So he's not really speaking. He's making a connection, and I'm sort of functioning as a biological translation device. But at the same time, it's using my consciousness to form a model or a mask of his personality. So in a sense, you're getting kind of a model of it, but at the same time, it's also presenting itself as a real individual coming through.
Right. That's fascinating, because it's your consciousness, yet your consciousness, who you are as Daryl, is actually someplace else. So it's there's the facility maybe of, I'm just trying to figure it out, of a biological consciousness that's embedded, and yet the personality of you is not connected to that.
No, the personality is sort of shoved into the passenger seat, and he does the driving for a while. So I don't have to pay attention to the road anymore. I can just kind of like look out and gaze out the window and look at other things while he's behind the wheel.
Well, that is like, that's just, I mean, if I don't think science really, well, they're first not even interested at this point because it's outside their paradigm.
Some are. Well, I think psychology, I mean, one of the first people that opened her house to me to actually channel to, you know, members of the public was actually a clinical psychologist, and she actually wrote her thesis paper on the connection between channeling and psychology. And she pretty much, and a lot of psychologists or, you know, nowadays, I think, pretty much understand, like I said, that, you know, you may not necessarily believe that another entity is coming through, but channeling is an actual altered state. That, I think, has been shown and demonstrated.
Right. I totally believe that. I think the creative act, you know, if you're writing or painting, you are definitely channeling.
Right.
And so, but the fascinating part is this entity, let's call him Bashar, he's there and, or he's appearing and using the body and the thought forms. My question really, is there, an inner dialogue with you and Bashar? Do you say, no, no, not now, get away? Or, I mean, what
goes on?
You mean
when someone asks if they can talk to him?
Yeah, or maybe he just visits you throughout the day, or what goes on?
Oh, no.
It's
a relatively specific thing. I mean, the connection is always there, but because also, first of all, as he's explained it, we're kind of aspects or offshoots of the same soul. In a sense, it's like he's my, if you want to look at it linearly, he says, you know, he's my future incarnation. I'm one of his past lives. So we're basically offshoots of the same soul in different time frames. And so the connection is there on that level, according to him. But it's never intrusive. I've had my own experiences with him, both in dreams and in asking for certain kinds of downloaded information. But generally, he's more hands-off because he wants me to live my own life as well. But when people ask, you know, then I will get a sense, not so much as to whether it's a good time or not, but whether it's appropriate or not, I'll get a yes, no. But it's 99.9% always usually yes, fine, you know, he'll come through and talk. But it's usually by arrangement. It's never something that just happens automatically or is interrupting my life. So to speak.
Right. But personally, can you speak, because you are known as the channel for Bashar, has it been difficult in a way to live a separate life because you're well known around the world as this, you know,
not extremely. I mean, I guess I've been fortunate in that sense. My other life is in the film industry. I've been in the film industry for about 30 years in special effects. Now I'm, you know, moving into writing, producing, and directing, and that's, you know, that's what interests me in terms of my, you know, typical career kind of thing. And I've been doing that, and I've been channeling Bashar kind of, I have sort of two parallel paths, you know, in a way. And sometimes they come together, and most of the time they're just on their own track.
Right, so it's been fun. So it's just kind of been something you do, like some people, you know, play music on the side or something.
I have my day job, and then I channel an alien. It's kind of bizarre, but that's what happened in my life.
It would be bizarre if I wasn't, like, totally open to the fact that this is the new realities we're living in. I mean, really.
Right. And, you know, we always say, you know, it doesn't matter whether people believe that Bashar is real. It's the information in the channeling state that's important, and that information seems to have the ability to come through with perspectives and ideas and concepts that are a bit unusual and seem to have the ability to help people change their lives in positive ways, and that's why I continue the channeling, you know. And Bashar is fine with that because that's really his purpose and his point anyway, not to make people believe that he's real, but to help people learn that they're the most important thing in their lives and that that they need to be more self-empowered in order to create the kind of world we say we want to have here, and that's really what he's all about, is helping with that.
Yeah, that's what I like about him. It's not, I mean, the channeling phenomena is fascinating, but the information and the humor, I would say, is very, very funny. And he's very perceptive about people's behaviors and psychologies and can really read people very well.
And, yeah, he's the thing I really like about the way he delivers information is that it's, you know, no pun intended, it's very down to earth. It's very pragmatic, and what I really like about it is he's very good at explaining in practical terms some of the more esoteric metaphysical concepts, you know, whereas sometimes you sort of hear, you know, different phrases and new age ideas and things like that, and they're sort of just sort of left up there in the stratosphere, and they sound nice, but you don't really know why they work or what they mean or how they work. And he's very good at really explaining the nuts and bolts and what the toolkit really is and why those nice-sounding phrases actually have some pragmatic application in physical reality, because he understands that we need to apply these concepts in physical reality, in our lives, and get an effect. And so he's very good at providing that toolkit for people so they can go off in their lives, use the tools and apply them and get the effect in their lives that they want, rather than just going away with a bunch of, you know, aphorisms or affirmations that they don't really understand what they mean or how they work, you know. So he's good about that.
Well, do you feel there's been an evolution of knowledge, like he started with basic concepts and he's adding to this, or is it all...
Oh, absolutely. He definitely has an absolute agenda of exactly how he laid the information out, and he definitely started with basics, and he gets more and more and more detailed and deeper and deeper and deeper every single year, and now is delivering some quite astonishing deep psychological and metaphysical information.
Well, can you give us a little example of what you can remember of what he's saying lately?
Well, I know that one of the strongest areas that he talks about is the whole concept of what a personality structure is, that it's, you know, it's based on belief systems, and how to really get in touch with what our definitions of life are, what our belief systems are, and how to change them in very practical ways to make differences in our lives, because he talks about metaphysical principles in the sense of, you know, life itself being relatively neutral, and it's the meaning we give to life that determines the effect we get out of life. Mm-hmm. And he goes very deeply into explaining how that all works within our psychology, within our consciousness, within our physical reality, how it affects our emotions, our behaviors, our thoughts, and all of that, and it gets quite detailed.
And another exciting thing I feel he's sort of pushing for or involved is this whole idea of the disclosure, the ET presence, and a sort of change in personal and collective psychology we have to have in order to embrace these beings.
Exactly. That's sort of the second half of his agenda, is all of this, all of the work that he's doing, all the information he's supplying, all the tools and techniques for helping people change, is really all toward getting the vibration of the planet to change and prepare us for eventual contact with other civilizations.
You just made a good connection. So it's something about the planet, the vibration of the planet and the consciousness has to change in order for us to meet these other beings. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, these beings, civilizations like Bashar's, operate on such high levels of energy, high frequency of consciousness, that he's saying one of the reasons that they sort of don't just land and present themselves, he says, by analogy, it would be like taking a very slow turning gear, which is us at a low frequency, and shoving it into a very high speed gear without any kind of transmission in between, and it would just strip our gears. It would just force our psychology to face things that we're not ready to integrate, to suddenly be exposed to such a high-frequency type of being. And so they're being very cautious about trying to help us elevate our frequencies and sort of get us to meet them halfway, energetically speaking, so that when it comes time for contact to occur, it will not have the devastating effects on our society that it could have were they just to simply reveal themselves and start interacting with us without any kind of buffer or any kind of education.
Well, that part is really fascinating, combined with the first part you said that Bashar is here to do, which is kind of lift up the personality and get over the stuckness, because it seems like that those stuck emotional patterns are actually getting in the way of the shift in frequency of our whole being.
Right.
If I can put those two things together. So that's a big connection that people, I think, don't realize, is the fact that their stuckness and the weight they're carrying psychologically is in the way of a spiritual awakening.
Well, yes, and again, according to Bashar, it really just comes down to our definitions and our beliefs, and once we understand what those are and make them transparent, then we can change them to be more harmoniously aligned with our true core nature and become more of our whole self, and that will certainly make a difference in terms of our ability not only to expand within our own consciousness, but also to expand outward and meet other beings of like mind within the cosmos.
Right. So the heaviness of the human drama stops us in our expansion of consciousness.
Well, in a sense, yes. Although Bashar has said we definitely shouldn't look at ourselves in that way as really being stuck. I mean, it's definitely a world of great limitation and can be a world of great darkness, but contrary to some of the ideas that, you know, we're sort of stuck here in a kindergarten and we're sort of less than them, Bashar's point of view is that really it takes quite a lot of spiritual strength to incarnate on a planet like this, in a society like this, and overcome the negativity and turn it into positive energy. And so from his point of view, really, he sees us as in a master class, in a graduating class of very strong souls who are earning their master's degrees by going to a very tough school.
So there is coming a time, do you feel, when Bashar's work will be done here?
This stage of it will certainly, ideally, hopefully, be done at a certain point. But I don't think that would be an end to their work, because he is, from his perspective, he is a first contact specialist, and the idea is that once we're prepared to actually have contact, then there are other levels to the agenda that continue on from there in terms of bringing us into the galactic community, and so I think this is just the first step.
And the galactic community is really also a kind of higher spiritual awareness as well. I mean, it seems like that.
Well, I mean, certainly there may be planets that are also of a low vibration, but in terms of the community that Bashar is talking about and is a part of, then yes, certainly we're talking about beings that are probably quite evolved, we're kind of coming into that club slowly but surely.
And I think it will happen Bashar has said, within at least the next 20 years, some kind of contact.
Yeah, he said that open contact, at least as far as he can read the energy right now, it seems to him that the first stages of open contact will probably take place sometime between 2025 and 2033 as he reads the energy as it exists now.
But he's also said 2012 is some kind of point in time.
Well, he's addressed it because we've been talking about it on Earth, and we've recognized that it is some sort of a crossing point or a threshold. And he's commented on it in a couple of ways. Number one, he said, well, yes, it's a consciousness threshold in the sense that, you know, we are growing, we are integrating, we are expanding, and 2012 to him represents a recognition of crossing a threshold, whereas before that date, the majority of the world has had negative energy in it. And he says after that date, it will finally just barely start tipping the scale, and there will be slightly more positive energy than negative energy in the world. And then from that point forward, it can snowball and expand and accelerate. He's also said that 2012, because of that, represents the end of what they've been calling the quarantine or the hands-off policy of their civilization. Now, that doesn't mean that they'll land all at once after that date, but what it means is that contact will not be prevented because of their policy. It will be solely in our hands at that point to determine when we're ready for contact to occur, and it won't be stopped because of anything that they're preventing themselves from doing in terms of interfering with our society. So he said at that point the quarantine will be off, and they'll take their cue completely from us as to when we're ready for contact.
Well, it's very exciting times we're in. Let me just ask you one more question. Is there anything you want? I mean, you said like you and Bashar have the same sort of common soul essence. Do you have a feel like you want to merge with that soul essence so you can be sort of the enlightened?
Rather than merge, let's say I'm becoming my own version of what I believe him to be, and I think that's the whole idea for the channel, is to grow in a way that you become, you know, a whole being, just as anyone ought to, in a sense. But I certainly am able to take my cue from what I perceive in the channeling, how he feels, because when I'm in that state, I can sense how they feel. And the thing that's the most profound difference between what typically passes for a normal state of mind for a human and their state of mind, it's a profound difference. And the one thing I've always commented on when I'm feeling what they feel in the channeling is that they have not one shred of a doubt for even a second about what they believe and how full of conviction they are. And that state of absolute lack of doubt is profoundly different, obviously, than the way humans exist on a typical day-to-day basis. And I've really learned to start absorbing that.
That is great. That is a great lesson that you have first-hand knowledge with. What was I going to ask you? Well, thank you. I mean, it's just fascinating, the whole... can you talk a little? Well, you're going to be in New York this Saturday, September 19th.
Right, and that will be available, I think, for teleconferencing as well.
Oh, great. So people for teleconferencing can go to
Bashar.org, just Bashar.org. Yeah.
Oh, Bashar.org. Okay, and they can find, if they're not in the New York area, if they are in the New York area, definitely come down to 230 West 29th Street at 10 p.m., or you can call me at 212-473-6388. And you're going to do some history in the morning, and then in the afternoon you're going to do this thing called the holotope. Can you just describe that briefly?
Well, it's something that a friend of ours, Kirby, has come up with, along with some other people, that it is a geometric pattern that when sound and light is played on it in a certain way is a very mind-expanding experience, and it goes along with a meditation that Bashar will deliver to really help unlock some old ideas and help people expand in a new way. It's an exhilarating experience, a very, like, heightened, accelerated meditative technique.
And it's an open-eyed meditation, huh? I mean, your eyes are open, you're
staring. Look at the holotope, at the patterns as they change, yes.
And I've heard it really shifts people in a multidimensional way.
It's very powerful. And Bashar, in fact, has said we should not ever do it longer than 15 minutes. It's a really powerful, very transformative technique.
It's like too many drugs or something, right? Don't do it too much.
Yeah, well, the safe kind of drug.
Right. This is just with your awareness, you are going to shift consciousness. I'm very excited about that because...
it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
I think... thank you for, you know, all the time that you've put in over the 26 years. It's been fun for you, hasn't it?
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show, and I look forward to seeing you in New York.
I definitely look forward to seeing you. I think we're going to have a great crowd of people. Again, that is at the Subud Center at 230 West 29th Street on Saturday, really all day. There's two sessions from 10 to 12 and then from 2:30 to 4:30. I've been talking to Daryl Anka, who is the channel for the multidimensional extraterrestrial consciousness Bashar, and it's Bashar.org, right?
Correct.
Thanks, Daryl. Look forward to seeing you.
And, you too, Alan. Thank you so much.
Yeah. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and you can check my website for any other updates at newrealities.com, or you can email me at newrealities@earthly.net. Thank you for listening.